morning, everyone. Unfortunately, Dr. Rebecca Dillingham cannot be with us today due to the fact that she is under the weather. However, at this time, I am both pleased and proud to introduce the speaker for today's seminar, Professor Robert Fatone, the Julia A. Cooper Professor of Government and Foreign Affairs and the Associate Dean for the Department of Politics. Born and raised in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, now an American citizen, Fatone studied in the mid-1970s in France, later earning a bachelor's degree from Goshen College in Indiana in 1976. He holds master's and doctoral degrees from the University of Notre Dame in Indiana. He has been teaching at the University of Virginia since 1981. Professor Fatone has served as chair of the Department of Politics from 1997 to 2004. He's the author of several books and a large number of scholarly articles. His most recent book is entitled The Roots of Haitian Despotism, which will be published this summer. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to Professor Fatone.
Yeah, it's a very small group, so I have a prepared text, so I'm not going to use it, because we are such a small group. The first thing that I'll do is to show you some pictures that you may have seen already. I'm not very good with technology, but I'll try. And they will, well, this is not, well, this is obviously the map of Haiti. Just move, yeah, and it's not moving. Oh, there it is. So you need to be closer. Okay. Fine. That's okay. I can. Yeah, that's fine. Let's see. Okay, so those are the pictures that were taken on January 12th during the earthquake. And I start with that building because that building was actually one of the key buildings in terms of the structures of the government. This is the tax building, as we called it. This is where tax were collected, etc., and it's falling. And then, obviously, that is part of the damage. This is a picture taken from the mountains during the earthquake. And the gray stuff that you see there is essentially the consequence of the bricks, the dust that was created by the earthquake. And a few minutes after that, we couldn't see actually downtown. It was completely covered by that dust. This is part of the destruction, and you can see, and it's very much the whole of downtown Port-au-Prince was like that, flattened. This is the National Palace, which obviously was the symbol of the government. It collapsed too, not completely, and it's still standing very much that way, except the middle part has been, for all practical purposes, removed, but the construction of the new palace has not started yet. You can see the difference between the two pictures. So that gives you an idea. This is still the palace. This is the typical thing that you would see downtown Port-au-Prince. And you can see that. So this is the building of the MINUSTAH. This is the acronym for the United Nations Peacekeeping Force, which is in Haiti, and virtually all the staff of MINUSTAH died in the process. This is the remnant of a building that had something like 10 tall building, and this is the remnant. It just collapsed straight down. And all of the major officers of MINUSTAH were in there at the time of the earthquake, and virtually all of them died. Something like 103 of them died on that very day. This is a picture taken obviously from the plane, and it shows you this is a soccer field that became part of the camp. And you can see all those little things there. Those are pets. And that has not changed significantly either. There were about 1 million or so people compelled to move today to those camps, and we still have probably something like 800,000 to 900,000 living in the same conditions. And if you go now, many of the camps which used to be blue have become really very pale because of the sun. And this is another picture of the camps. This is another one. And this is downtown Port-au-Prince. You can see those are makeshift, but very much what you still see. This is a picture taken in Pétionville on the hills, and you can see the destruction. Literally all of the houses there collapsed. They were very poorly built. Not surprisingly, this is the consequence of the earthquake. This is a camp. This is one of the better kept camps. It's about 6 miles away from Port-au-Prince. One of the problems is that it's very isolated. There are no jobs, and it is certainly not a solution to the problem of the camp people. Here you can see Bill Clinton and Bush and the president of Haiti, Préval. This is a few weeks after the earthquake when both Clinton and Bush were in fact in charge of some organization to provide assistance to Haiti. Here you see them again. And this, I put the picture of this fellow, this is Michel Martelly. He may well be the next president of Haiti. The result was supposed to have been announced yesterday, but as usual, there have been delays, and there have been accusations of fraud, so the results are supposed to be announced on Monday. The preliminary tallies showed that he won overwhelmingly, but the electoral council has argued that many of the tallies were fraudulent. So something like 15% of those tallies have been removed, so it remains to be seen whether he is going to be, in fact, the president. If he is not, this would be the president of Haiti. This is Miolan Maniga, and she is an intellectual, and she has been involved in politics for a long time. She is also the wife of a former Haitian president, Lissi Maniga, who was deposed actually in a coup in 1987. So it's going to be either Maniga or Martelly. So those are the pictures. So let me now get into a little bit more of the discussion. As you know, they, the earthquake clearly was devastating for Haiti, not only in terms of the number of people who died. I mean, it's estimated that anything between 220,000 to 300,000 people died in the earthquake. So it's a colossal catastrophe, but it is also the catastrophe in terms of the infrastructure of the country. Virtually all governmental buildings were destroyed, which means that the government, which was already quite weak and quite incompetent, virtually vanished in the aftermath of the earthquake. One of the fascinating things that occurred after, immediately after the earthquake, was the fact that there was no government. The president essentially didn't talk to the population for 2 weeks. The Minister of the Interior had this very strange thing to say, but which is symptomatic of the current situation. He said something something to the effect that the government was not in the business of fixing those problems. That was the business of the international community and of the NGOs. And this is a very important element to keep in mind when we talk about the future of the country. So the earthquake has clearly devastating consequences. But what was interesting is that in the midst of the cataclysm itself, there was a sense that Haitians may have actually created a new sense of solidarity. The earthquake was an equalizer in the sense that whether you were wealthy, poor, whatever class you may have been from, you were going to suffer the consequences. And for about 3 or 4 days, very wealthy people were in the streets with very poor people. And that was the very first time that those two different groups slept together and just slept together in the streets. So that generated the sense that maybe something different could crystallize after the earthquake and in the process of reconstruction. Unfortunately, this is my view, very quickly after that glimmer of solidarity, the old reflexes reasserted themselves. In other words, the big divide between the very small group of well-to-do Haitians and the vast majority of the population, that divide really became increasingly apparent and may have been reinforced. So while it is not unthinkable to imagine that you could have a new government, a new type of a new social contract between the wealthy minority and the rest of the population, I think this is unlikely. So we have the old problems that have been added to the destruction of the country. This is one aspect of the situation. The other aspect is the utter dependence of Haiti on external sources of power. The country's budget, for instance, is dependent on something like 70 to 75% in terms of foreign assistance. The current government is, to a large extent, a prisoner of the international community and of the World Bank, the Inter-American Bank, and the International Monetary Fund. And what I mean by prisoner is that the government has virtually no autonomy insofar as deciding its own economic policies. It is not decided by the Haitian government. It is really the function of the international community. And that dependence has increased as a result of the earthquake, because what has occurred is the creation of the so-called interim Haiti Recovery Commission, which was actually designed in the State Department, proposed to the Haitian government, and with a few amendments, it was voted into law, and probably unconstitutionally and illegally, but it was nonetheless voted into law by the parliament. And the interim commission is basically a commission that represents, on the one hand, the major powers and the major international financial institutions. In order to be a member, a foreign member of the commission, you needed to have given at least $100 million over, immediately, or $200 million over a period of 3 years, or you needed to have canceled the whatever debt Haiti had vis-a-vis the particular country and the debt of about $200 million. So you have the typical countries, major powers, the United States, Canada, France, a part of that commission. There are other countries which are not obvious countries in that commission, like Norway, is Japan too. and then you have Venezuela, and then you have some of the Latin American countries which are part of MINUSTAH, Brazil and Argentina were represented. And the Commission is represented by, on the one hand, the foreign contingent and the Haitian contingent, and they are represented equally. In reality, however, the Commission is supposed to be the organism that is going to disperse the money that the international community has pledged after the earthquake. So we are talking about pledges that amounted to $5 billion over 3 years and $10 billion supposedly over 7 or 8 years. In reality, that money has yet to be effectively dispersed. Only something like 20% of it has been disbursed, and it may well be that the $5 billion will not amount to more than probably $3 billion. Usually, in those types of natural catastrophes, pledges that are made in the immediate aftermath of the catastrophe are significantly higher than what the country is going to get. You get about 40-50% of it, not more. So that's one issue, but the problem with the Commission is that since it is really dominated by the donors, the Haitian government has very little say in the matter, although supposedly the president has a veto power over the decision, but the president has no money. So if the international community comes with a proposal to give money, it is very unlikely that the president would veto that particular decision. So for all practical purposes, the situation of Haiti now is a situation of virtual trusteeship. It's not a formal trusteeship, but it is a de facto trusteeship. The country does not have an army, has a very weak police, and whatever coercive forces that function in Haiti are those of the United Nations. So you have a government that has very limited capacity to do anything about the economy. You have a government that does not really have a police or a military force, and you have the interim commission, which is in charge, really, of disbursing the foreign money that is supposed to be coming for the reconstruction of Haiti. So when you look at Haiti now, it is in fact a virtual trusteeship. The political situation has been one of instability, as you know, and that instability has been exacerbated by the elections that were the first one of the elections, the presidential and parliamentary elections, were conducted last November. And what I mean by instability exacerbated by elections is that traditionally elections in Haiti are very dangerous moments. Very few elections in Haiti end up peacefully. The problem is that there is fraud, and that whomever loses the election does not accept peacefully and gracefully defeat. And in many instances, this is not surprising, because, in fact, they won. And they find out that the official results are not those that really corresponded to what most people thought was the actual vote. So elections are dangerous in Haiti. Now, it's a good thing to have elections, but when the elections in November took place, in November 28th, you were talking about a situation whereby the whole infrastructure for the elections had disappeared. The Electoral Council building had been destroyed. You had about 300,000 people who had died, and no one knew exactly who died, and there were many of them were part of the regular list of voters. There were probably something like another 500,000 people who were of age to to vote but could not register. A significant number of Haitians lost their cards in the earthquake. So you're talking about a totally disorganized electoral process. And it's very puzzling that the election did in fact take place, because many Haitians had the hope that after the earthquake there would be some sort of a provisional government of national unity.